Hey everybody, I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V Speaks Conversations with Heart and Soul. V is in its 18th year of storytelling, and it's season 6 of storytelling on a podcast. I'm so excited today to have my guest, John Shirley, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Jim Shirley Enterprises. And they have seven different restaurants, and they're all amazing. John, welcome to the podcast. So happy that you're here.
Thank you for having me, Lisa.
You're welcome. Well, we have been having such a good time having a conversation prior to, and I can only hope that we can capture it all over again. Please let
We've
us be
had
able
a nice
to do
conversation.
We have. We really have. So you, if I can remember correctly, have you been here about 2 years already?
I've been in town 2 years.
2 years. Okay. And as the COO of your brother, Jim Shirley, the legendary chef's operations, I think I've witnessed such a beautiful evolution of the establishments growing and elevating under your tutelage. Tell us where you came from, which is going to be like a long part of the story because you have a very storied career. So Cisco, you were at Cisco, and I'm going to let you tell me what the title is because it sounds like a militaristic title. But anyway, what was your title there?
So I was the director of category commercialization. So the commercialization of all products at Cisco.
And that's a global company.
Global company, and roughly $70 billion company. And
amazing. And what would you, like, what were you doing? Like, would you travel a lot?
Really, I was working cross-functionally with other teams, marketing, merchandising, sales, operation teams to really develop and implement new products and build out their digital platform that they were beginning. Mm-hmm. And I was fortunate enough to have a great friend and boss, a guy named Lee White, who was really behind some of the building out of those structures and systems that have enabled them to really have a world-class system. So, mm-hmm.
And you were headquartered during that time in
Houston, Texas.
Yeah. And so big change coming from big city living to living by the beach, but you're no stranger to the beach because, you know, you have roots here from Pensacola and beyond. So what was that like transitioning from such a different lifestyle coming to the beach?
It's been great. So my family's here, my brother, my sister. And so just coming to be with them and their families and
coming home.
Yeah, coming home is really what it was. I grew up and spent most of my life on the coast and then went to Houston for the opportunity. Spent 10 years in Houston working at the corporate office. And it was an amazing opportunity and an amazing opportunity for personal growth. Mm-hmm. I was challenged and stretched continuously.
That's how you grow.
That's how you grow. And so
stretching is not comfortable, but you don't grow without it.
I was fortunate. I had some really great leadership and people who were great mentors and would assure me that it's just where you put the comma.
Yeah. right. That's so good. And what were you doing prior to that?
Prior to that, I was working in category management of seafood. So the procurement and managing the sustainability around seafood for Cisco. So Cisco's Portico brand is a billion-dollar brand, and it's a global brand that encompasses, you know, facilities from around the planet, all UL listed, all carefully measured, monitored for safety and quality, and they do a really fantastic job. And then the sustainability is their platform is fantastic. And so that was really, because of the size and scale of Cisco, I was able to really create an environment globally that was concerned about sustainability because of their purchase power. It drove facilities worldwide to behave differently and to really be involved in best aquaculture practices, best sustainability, whether that was MSC, BAP, AAC, different sustainability platforms.
Very interesting. And when we were chatting before we went live, you were telling me about how great seafood is as a protein source and sustainability and, you know, how we're going to feed the world and all that. Yeah. Can you get into the details?
Well, just as we, the planet continues, the population continues to grow, and it does, and that's just a reality. And so the question is, where are we going to develop the proteins that will feed those people? Mm-hmm. And to me, the cleanest, most sustainable format is seafood, farm-raised seafood. And whether that's aquaculture in the ocean or whether that's aquaculture on land, it's sustainable, it's healthy, it's good for the environment. It's really easy. Mm-hmm. And yet, you know, in the U.S., we don't necessarily do a fantastic job with that. There's a very limited amount of that sustainable farm-raised seafood going on, mm-hmm. where globally, other countries have embraced it and done a great job mm-hmm. with it. Yeah.
So was this the stat 12%? What did you say?
I was talking about shrimp. And there's always this conversation that the U.S. should only use, U.S. product. Mm-hmm. But the truth is that the U.S. harvests about 12% of the shrimp it needs for its total consumption. And it doesn't have capacity to harvest more than that. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, where does that shrimp come from? Mm-hmm. And it's a global aquaculture product. And I feel great about it. I wish the world wasn't fed all of the false stories mm-hmm. about aquaculture and what that means. Mm-hmm. It's horrific that we have that kind of bad press. I've been in those plants. I've been on those farms, and it's safe. It's clean. It's environmentally friendly. WWF, MSC, ASC, all of those organizations are independent organizations who monitor that process. Mm-hmm. And
well, I love hearing the inside story that you were like boots on the ground in these places and you really know what you're talking about, because I brought up to you that I had, you know, watched a program that was saying, you know, in some of these countries that we're getting, they weren't doing a good job with it. So that's good to know. And it's such a, to say that you're looking at the situation from like a bird's eye view would be an understatement because of your past life in that business. So that's very interesting.
And we're fortunate because we're right here on the Gulf of Mexico. So we can buy Gulf product. We can buy, you know, fresh grouper out of the Gulf and fresh snapper and those kind of things. But the realization is the rest of the world cannot.
Yes.
And there's not enough product coming out of the Gulf to be able to do
feed
that.
Everybody.
You know, I'm concerned. I'm one of those people who grouper needs to be 3 years old in order to reproduce. And yet people harvest grouper before it has an opportunity to reproduce, which is not sustainable.
Right.
And so if you buy fillets that are under 3 ounces, you're killing a fish that will never have the opportunity to reproduce. That causes me concern.
Yeah.
And so those are the conversations that I think we should be having rather than belittling other countries who are actually attempting to feed themselves.
Right. Why don't we have regulations that you can't do that until the fish is
That's
three?
A great question.
Okay. But we don't.
We don't.
Interesting. So much goes into really everything, right, that is going on here. So Jim, you know, your brother who founded and helms the culinary empire that you are championing right now, and you and your sister have such deep roots here and a very, very interesting childhood and life, traveling the world because your dad was a pilot in the Navy. I find that fascinating. So take us on a journey of what that was like for you and Jim and your sister.
We moved a lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's part of the culture there.
Right.
But it allowed us to visit places that a lot of people are never able to visit. And I think it also gave us this vision about some global relevancy, right? Mm-hmm. Where we're all part of the same planet. And so we lived in Iceland for a number of years where he was a search and rescue pilot. We lived San Diego, Monterey, Coronado, Pensacola is ultimately where he landed and retired. But, you know, we had a chance to watch him travel, and he was flying off of carriers a lot of his career. So, you know, he went to Vietnam and flew in Vietnam, and then he picked up Apollo 14 on the USS New Orleans. And so really great opportunity to see that and be a part of that as you know, a child. Yeah. And watching, and
such really a rich experience. Mm-hmm. You know, very exciting. Mm-hmm. But I know, you know, even for a kid, moving a lot takes some resilience, and you need to be capable and competent to be able to, you know, thrive and all of that, which probably made you all ready for the world, right?
Right. Because I think that's part of it, right, is that growth and being stretched by those opportunities where you have to meet new friends and become a part of a new community and learn how to talk to somebody that you've never met before and have a conversation. And
exactly. Wow. So exciting.
My mother was really good too. I have to mention her because she was, she never met a stranger, and she had this intuition about people where as kids, we would laugh because she would be in line at the grocery store and just start talking to the cashier, and we'd go sit on a bench because we knew it wasn't going anywhere. The girl was going to tell my mother her life story.
Oh, wow.
It was just, she had this amazing ability to do that.
Oh,
so
that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. So Jim had shared with me, that he, you know, got his love for food, like in this growing up in the lifestyle that you had as well. And you like cooking as well. So talk about that. Even though you're doing the operational side of it, tell me about your love of food and, you know, how you produce, or do you cook a lot at home? Like, talk to me about that.
I do like to cook, and I cook a lot at home, and I cook a lot for friends. And I would say that I'm a very soulful cook. So if you think deep Southern cooking that's where I'm happy. I spent a lot of time with my grandmother, especially my grandmother Shirley, but also with my grandmother Allen, who had a little farm, and they'd pull beans and red potatoes and fried okra in a cast iron skillet, and kind of grew up with that sort of food. And so it is soul food. It really warms your heart to be a part of that. And you see that reflected in Jim and the sort of Southern urban food that he makes. And
So when you took the helm here a couple of years ago, what were some of your big challenges that you were able to overcome in what I might add seems to me in a very short time?
I think that, you know, Jim has built a really fantastic business. And a lot of people don't think about, we were talking earlier about all of the nights and weekends and hours away from family that it takes to build a business like this. So much kudos to Jim, because he's really, you know, it didn't just happen. He put the effort and the time, and you know, at times when it was the last dollar in the bank, he persevered. And so, you know, we talking about never give up.
Yeah, never give up. This is John and my credence that we live by,
Right.
For sure. Because to get here, to have 7 restaurants, you have to stand. And sometimes standing is very, very difficult. And at times it's almost impossible.
Right.
And so the grit, like you were saying, and the grace that it takes to basically, you know, remain standing, and not only standing and then thriving, there's a lot that goes into, there's a lot of foundational building that goes into being able to stand. No one's an overnight success. And the ones that are, I marvel at, kudos to them, but I don't know very many overnight success stories. Do you?
Right. No.
No?
No, I think all of my friends have been like Jim, like myself, just grinders.
Yeah, grinders.
People who wake up and seek guidance and then move forward and do the best we can with that day. And when the new sun rises, just start again, right?
And I believe that with you is that's how you do it. Definitely one day at a time. And but with a lot of gusto. Because you can't go into the day like sort of just like, you know, haphazardly thinking like and hoping that things will work. You got to seize the moment, right? Yeah. So that's the grinding part of it. Got to keep it going.
And we were talking about, you know, so what has happened in the last couple of years is it's taking a foundation and then developing that culture deeper. And so you're looking for those people who understand that a job is not just a gift. It's also something that requires effort to sustain. And so, you know, building role clarity, building responsibility around roles, and then building and giving people the authority to do the job. And so, you know what you need to do. I shouldn't have to micromanage you. And that is a challenge in our business because there are a lot of people who just won't take the initiative and look for the details. But we have been really blessed to have a fantastic crew and team here within Jim. And I think Jim really set the tone for that culture because he really does have this deep caring for the people, the humans. It's love people and use things, right?
Yes.
And don't ever get those two things messed up.
Yes. Beautifully said, for sure. So your leadership has been really wonderful and growing people. And you in high season, you told me you have 350 to 400 employees. So that's a lot of employees to oversee. What are some of those challenges, like how did you overcome, like how did you do such a good job at like the team building camaraderie that you can see in all of the operations?
Well, I really just believe in holding myself accountable for the time and effort and then holding people accountable for the expectations, right?
Yeah.
And that's never perfect. It's not a perfect world we live in.
Right.
You have to be flexible, nimble, creative, and intuitive. You have to know where the puck is going, not where it is. And that's and that's been the nature of our business. And we try and instill that to all of our leadership that, you know, they want to empower and grow people. We talk about that we want to have an environment here where we're actually growing and developing people. And if we grow and develop people, then the quality of product will follow. It's not just caring for our customer, but it's caring for each other, caring for the product we serve, and then caring for each other. That's
wonderful. So wonderful. What are some of your favorite or your customers' favorite dishes in? And you can pick like any of the seven establishments that you'd like.
Well, so we're here at the Bay, so I have to mention the Shondor's ravioli. So Shondor is just a hero for many of us. He's a chef and he hand makes pasta for us. He hand makes this Shondor ravioli with his own unique recipe, served with pesto and then grilled grouper, and it's a fabulous dish. That's a local favorite. It's one of our favorite. And of course, Jim is known for Grizziaia, smoked Gouda cheese grits, blackened shrimp, and this yaya, which is a bacon shallot, spinach cream reduction, just a gloriously rich, flavorful sauce. And I don't know how many millions of orders he sold, but it's a wonderful dish and really a signature dish everywhere.
And Great Southern too. Great Southern Cafe in Seaside is a landmark. It's a town landmark in Seaside and a landmark on 30A too.
It is.
And I was just there Monday on a business lunch, and that salmon was delicious.
We're so fortunate. You know, you look at the restaurants, and we're here at the bay, right on Choctahatchee Bay, across the street, North Beach and Farm and Fire, overlooking Choctahatchee Bay. And then you mentioned Great Southern, right in the middle of Seaside.
The heart.
And what a wonderful story, the whole, you know, Robert and Daryl Davis and the development of Seaside as this planned community. Mm-hmm. Nothing had ever existed like that. And just kind of this unique, you know, charter school, first in the nation. And just there's so many great things about Seaside that
there are,
you know, go unsaid oftentimes, right?
Right.
And I don't think that people really know the full story there because, again, they don't see all of the effort that went into its construction and its ongoing maintenance and development. And
well, that was their vision, you know, that they carried out with excellence. And it wasn't perfect either, like nothing is, but it was nearly perfect as far as that can go. Championing, you know, the new urbanism movement and all that that birthed in our community, down 30A, globally. Prince Charles had hired Robert and Andreas 25, 30 years ago to consult on how to bring a new urbanism community called Poundbury out of the ground. Our editor Jordan and I got to go there 2-3 years ago and see that, and then see like the section that Andreas 20 did, and then Leon Creer, and like all these different architects that we know in our little teeny microscopic town that we live in. And I'm like, wow, like so global.
It is.
You know, just like your upbringing was global, and Seaside, that looks like maybe a cute, charming little town, was actually like a global thought process on how to do things differently, which, a lot of people probably come here and just want to get the t-shirt, you know, or the sweatshirt, and it's fun and it's colored, you know, multicolored homes that are charming, but it's so much more than that.
It really is. You know, you'll be sitting at Great Southern's bar next to a lady who built the spacesuits for the shuttle pilots, you know, and it just, what?
right.
But it's that sort of interaction that you have regularly while you're milling about at Seaside and meeting new people from all over the planet. And it's just so nice. And all of the entrepreneurs that are there.
Right.
And
wow. Yeah. It's a special place, you know, and, you know, we're not even like trying to sell it as like, you know, tourism operators or anything. It's like, I lived it.
It's a special place.
You live it, you know that it is so many, many layers to it than meet the eye, really. So much to talk about here. So your roots are really in Pensacola, because you said Jim was born in Pensacola.
Right.
Where were you born?
I was born in Norfolk, Virginia, but we only were there for 6 months before we moved to Iceland.
Okay. Then you moved to Iceland. So, okay. Right. A little baby.
A little baby moving to Iceland.
Wow.
Right. And then,
that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so amazing. Talk about, so we're in the bay, and you just touched on it, because we're going to go visit and we're going to take a walk around so we can show everybody, you know, all that's going on at the bay here, which is a lot. But I'll start with the view. Like, where else can you dine in the world that basically has the view of that bay? Sitting on the dock of the bay here, Choctahatchee Bay.
Which it is spectacular.
Spectacular.
It really is. The white sand beaches, the beautiful bay, seeing the bridge, just, it'll just take your breath away.
Right.
It really is one of the only places. It's so unique.
Yeah, it's so
unique. And that's why I say we're so blessed to have these properties and be able to have successful, thriving businesses on these properties.
Right.
What a gift.
Yeah, it is a gift. And like, there are so many different, like what I would call it, iterations of the experience that can be here, because I've been here in the summer, which is like, wow, why am I doing this? But we're meeting people for dinner that want to go. But then I love it because I get to see like all these little kids just running freely, like on the white sand there, right? Their parents can eat and you can see them and it's not dangerous. And they're like free and just like having such a good time. And the place is absolutely packed. And that, you know, just like on a summer night, can be like one of the prettiest sights that you can see. And the food is awesome. And the sushi, which you're known for, and so many other southern dishes. But, you know, that is like a, such a one of the glimpses of what you get here. Then all the musical acts that you have playing here. So like, just tell me about that. Like, who runs that? How are you always playing music, which is, it's a business in it, in and of itself, basically, to book bands all the time.
It really is.
So talk about that.
Well, and just, you know, we have live music here on Wednesday and Sunday and then special events. And so we're really fortunate in this area that there are so many great local bands, musicians, and people that have a collaboration together. And so they cycle in and out. And we have people, Mike Whitty helps us a lot. Yep. And
he does a good job.
Great musician. And so
he is.
You know, we have this bandstand on the water that I think we'll see today. Yep. And so just the ability to do that and play in that environment. Mm-hmm. Similar across the street. It's daily
North Beach.
And,
yeah, that's daily. That's a whole vibe there that is amazing that you're able to bring to the community, because there isn't anything like that here. You're the only one that's doing that. Right. And you have the space and the capability. And you know what? Effort. That takes effort.
Right. But it's such a nice environment, to be able to have live music, a beach, kids running around on the beach and enjoying themselves in this clean family atmosphere, you know, great food, great service.
Yep.
That's really, really unique. I don't know sometimes that we as locals really know how special that really is and how unique it is.
Yeah. I'm sure the parents do.
Yes.
I don't think you have to do much selling with them.
The ability to sit, relax, have a drink,
and have them
have
fun.
Some food and let the kids just have a great time.
Yeah.
And the kids want to come here, and that's here across the street, North Beach.
Yes.
You know, we have the sort of area with the blue blocks that the kids play with.
Yeah,
and
everything.
And so
and then Farm and Fire is across the street, too, in that same building that, you know, is used for so many different, like, changing the dynamics.
Right.
And Farm and Fire has an amazing menu as well. And you have, like, very loyal patrons that go there and that sit at that bar. And the beautiful, what is it? Like, how many feet is that? Like, this is the largest bar I've ever seen.
It is a great bar.
EF San Juan, one of our clients, designed that bar. That was, what was the story of that? That was somewhere else, and then you hoisted it up. Talk about
that. Hoisted it up and put it in there. I think that it went unpaid, and Jim bought it. And it's interesting because that room at the time, it's an odd-shaped room. But it overlooks the bay. It's a spectacular view. Mm-hmm. But it was hard to seat. People didn't want to sit there for some reason. And so they dropped this bar in, and now it is the primary seated place in the restaurant. It just, again, is it's that, hey, let's do the right thing.
Yeah.
And then it turns into something spectacular. So,
but that wasn't even created for that
space?
No,
it wasn't.
Oh, that's
but it just, looks like it was.
It
well,
does.
Doesn't
it looks so much like it was. That is a
referred to as the boat bar because it kind of has that boat shape to it, right?
And beautiful. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful.
Right. And the food is really spectacular and it's diverse. So a family can come there. We have sushi, we have pizza, we have steaks and chicken. And, you know, there's almost three separate menus there. And so there's a little of something for everybody at Farm and Fire.
And the
chef
dining.
Is making everything. I mean, down to the sausage that goes on the pizza is hand-ground pork and seasoned. Yeah. And so it's really a spectacular product.
It is. Oh, my gosh. Totally. I don't know too much about the Meltdown, but I know the Meltdown is wildly successful because I don't eat a lot of grilled cheese myself, but I know the rest of the world does. And I have had it before, and it is like a damn good grilled cheese sandwich, like the best of the best.
Jim and Kelly Castile and the grilled cheese there is fantastic. It's, you know, right on 30A, Airstream trailer.
but like a huge walk up
and order. And yeah, there's always a big line in the summertime as people are eating the grilled cheese.
Yes. Yeah, it's so good.
Rotating sandwiches, just, you know, the American, the standard grilled cheese is there and
fantastic.
But then all the other variations.
Yeah.
And it's really such a good product. If you haven't tried it,
I'm going to go get one.
Really?
I am. I'm speaking about it right now. It makes me want to get it. But like, you definitely cornered the market on the grilled cheese sandwich.
But I get a craving for it, and it's nothing else is going to fill it. It's really a fantastic place to go and grab something.
So since you've been here, and I know Jim's been on the road a lot, you know, with the South Walton TDC and other things that we'll talk about that he's involved with as a, you know, celebrity chef and all. But tell me about what it was like last year when you accompanied him for Emeril Lagasse's Carnival Divin.
Well, one, it was just such a great event. And I have to say, Emeril is doing such a wonderful job. You know, we talked about caring for people, right? Mm-hmm. And so that entire, his philanthropy around helping kids become educated in culinary arts and other areas, that's really what that event was about, was supporting those institutes to help, especially in New Orleans, but it's really a national organization.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing.
And so,
and Jim was like, he cooked a lot for that too, wasn't he? Like there were some other celebrities.
He did. Ming Tsai was there. Yeah. And so to be able to cook alongside some of these, you know, TV celebs is really a fun experience.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Our crew comes with Jim and cooks beside him. And
amazing.
You know, they produce fun little items. Yeah. And
that's quite a dinner, that event, the black tie. Well, maybe it's not totally black tie, but it's quite spectacular.
It really is. Yep. And a lot of fun.
Yeah, so much fun.
I know Jim loves doing it and loves interacting with Emeril. He's been a great advocate for this area.
He has.
In addition to, you know, New Orleans.
Yeah,
and
he really has. Emeril's a great guy.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Man, he's such a good guy. Like you say, incredibly helpful to many, you know, not just, but he's really shepherds other chefs. And has a great respect for them too. That's pretty commendable of him to do that. Being the he was the first celebrity chef that our country had, basically, you know.
And just awarded a 2-star Michelin
in his
restaurant in New Orleans.
Have you been to that restaurant?
I haven't had a
chance
yet.
I'm going to tell you, you need to go there and experience it because I did last year. I think it's 9 courses. It was unbelievable. But EJ, you know, his son, it's something else.
That's so nice to see that legacy continue, right?
It is. It's so good to see that, definitely. What do you have any new things on the horizon? I mean, I know you have a lot right now, but the only reason I'm asking that is just because Jim always comes up with new curations.
I think our current project stream is around events and special events here. You know, we're going to talk a little bit about and look at the space behind the bay where we've added the garden patio, and that's super exciting for us because it's an amazing space.
It's beautiful.
Great for weddings and any kind of events.
And is it open yet?
It is open.
Okay.
So it's not regularly sat as part of the restaurant.
Wow.
So, but we used it for songwriters. That was where the bands were, and it worked out just beautiful. It was perfect.
It's a cool space.
And so it's really a great space.
Yeah.
But then other event related things we've really been engaged in at the locations. And so not really off site.
Right.
But, so that's an evolving process. And we're really blessed. Brianna Anderson has been kind of leading that work and helping us kind of grow and develop that muscle. And I think we've done a fantastic job over the last year.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. So in our town, which I was sort of pseudo complaining about when I first saw you today, like, where are all these people coming from and how is Highway 98 at 8:00 in the morning, like almost looking like a urban city traffic, you know? And then you're like, well, we need it.
Mm-hmm.
We need more people here, right, for us to continue to grow. But we also need a new form of transportation besides the automobile, right?
I think we do. You know, there's really no public transportation modes here. There's a couple of shuttles that run around, but
yeah.
I think we need more
we
than
need
that.
More. We
really
to...
have to be talking about that. And yeah. the TDC does a fabulous yeah. job of promoting the area, yeah. but now it's time, I think, to start talking about
infrastructure,
other ways of developing infrastructure mm-hmm. that put less cars on the road.
Right.
I think we have to come up with some yeah. solutions for that. Parking.
I agree. So because of the growth and because there are only like a few venues that someone can have a wedding or a bridal shower or, you know, whatever special events there are, because 30A is such a well-heeled community and very affluent and they're private, many of these spaces that can facilitate that. So you all went headfirst into curating your spaces and marketing your spaces for all of those things and weddings. And how many weddings have you had over at North Beach? So, I mean, it's been crazy, right?
Quite a few, and quite a few here.
And yeah.
On the beach or on the garden patio. And
I know people are having a really good experience with it too.
Spectacular experience.
And it looks beautiful. You are the only venue. Mm-hmm. In town, basically. So that was a whole new cottage industry, if you will, right. that you also have launched somewhat aggressively, but not really aggressively. You're just like opening a need because people like really weren't aware that this could, you could do that, which mm-hmm. is so good. And that, like Bree, like you said, is doing such a great job. But like, that's a whole business.
Right.
The music is like, there's so much going on here with all of this. It's very alive and it's very capable and you're able to pull it all off. Mm. And I commend you and all your staff. And of course, Jim, the father of it all, is just amazing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. I mean, it's so good. Like it can never go anywhere. This is just amazing. And I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that we got to meet too. And working together in the last couple of years too. And it's so fun, you know,
thank you.
It's all good.
I really appreciate and value your leadership.
Oh, and thank you.
The way that you've helped enhance the community.
Thank you so much. And our team totally, you know, loves working on your accounts too. And they've got like a heart and a dedication for that too. So like my own team, like your team, you know, too, they have to love it as much as, you know, we do. Right.
Right.
For sure. So, well, any parting words? I do like to ask everybody that I interview, if you have any like words of wisdom, you know, pearls of wisdom for somebody that wants to do something in the culinary field or any field at all, like just like a parting, like maybe on the heels of our never, never, never give up that we both believe in, but anything else?
Well, I talked about personal growth and development. And I talked about the idea that we want to be a mechanism for people to grow and develop in this industry. And there are so many people who may not have an opportunity to go to college or find themselves in a dead-end role. And I wouldn't overlook the restaurant industry as a true career-based industry that is, you know, it's really a wonderful, dynamic, you know, industry to be in. And it's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's hard work, but it's a great opportunity for people. And you can step in and really the sky's the limit of where you can go with a career in the business, food service.
Mm. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Well, thanks for being here. And we're going to take a walk now and show everybody
Thank
what we're
you.
Talking about.
Look at this view.
Incredible.
And it's just open for us to come and enjoy and have fine dining and food and drinks and just Amazing. Be very casual. That's... Kids can come play and hang out on the beach. And
so gorgeous.
Even when the place is packed and we're waiting to be seated, we have the opportunity to just come hang out here, which to me is better than the whole experience.
Right.
So
I love showing things like in its raw form before you get to see how it's used and all that. So here we are, serene, quiet, midday. And then this place completely transforms at night where you have all these different acts. How many nights a week?
So two nights is our standard, Wednesday and Sunday.
and playing here with the backdrop of Choctahatchee Bay, and you can sit here, sit on the chairs, have fire pits, kids running around. It's really family friendly, but great music, whether that's bluegrass or, you know, light southern rock.
So unique. I mean, how many places in the world have something like this for you to go to? I mean, it really is amazing.
It's super special.
The Bay.
And you can sit inside. So we've built the sound system inside while you're dining so that you can still hear each other and talk. We don't have to project the music.
Well, that's smart.
So it's really a nice experience to be able to be there and talk and dine while having live music going on.
Perfect. John, this space is amazing. The first time I saw it and I saw this wall back here, I'm like, man, this is amazing. Perfect event space. And tell me what you did to this space to ready it for an event space.
We really just dried it in so that it's nice and dry and weatherproofed, and so we can use it year round. And we love the idea that we can have weddings or bridal lunches, dinners here. We can also use the space for events like songwriters. We had songwriters built a stage.
Wow.
Really a spectacular venue for
songwriters. That must be perfect.
And any other music special events that we want to have.
Love it.
You know, we're going to continue this idea with the garden patio out behind the space as standing herbal garden so that we can actually, you'll be able to walk through the herb garden.
Wow. How big is that going to be?
Really see. Well, it's...
I mean, this is a lot of space. A
couple thousand square feet.
That's so good.
We're going to play with that. Wow. I'm working with a master gardener to try and develop what that looks like.
Amazing.
What the next steps are.
I mean, goes along with your sustainability, you know? It's what a perfect... This is going to be amazing.
Hope you enjoyed this. I did. John, great guy. A lot of words of wisdom, and I love everything that they're doing here. If you haven't come here in a while, or if you've never been here, which I don't think there are too many that haven't, definitely come check out all of Jim Shirley Enterprises establishments. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.